Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for the prayer and reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Reconciliation statement. Melbourne City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants of the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Please be seated. Item number 2, apologies and leaves of absence.
Nil, Mr. Mayor.
Changes to the order of business?
Nil.
Deputations?
Nil, Mr. Mayor.
Declaration of any pecuniary interest or other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have a direct conflict of interest for item number 11.4, delegations of authority exercised the 1st of July 2013 to the 31st of December 2013.
Thank you, Councillor Bogg.
Mr. Mayor, I also have a direct interest in item 18.2, confidential business, CEO review committee report.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Number 4, deputations.
No, Mr. Chair.
Number 5. Oh, sorry. Done that. Number 6, adoption of confirmation of minutes of previous meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the minutes of the ordinary meeting dated held on the 17th of December 2013 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you. Number 6. Oh, need a second. Can I have a second for that motion?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Madley. Anyone oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Any correspondence, parliamentary and departmental letters received by the Mayor? Present an agenda for anyone to read it, wishes to read it. Can I have a mover for the recommendation, please?
Can I move that the parliamentary and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted?
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do you have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Is there any Councillor opposed? I declare the motion carried. Number 8, petitions and joint letters. Number 9, resumption of debate or other business carried over from previous meeting.
Also near, Mr. Mayor.
Number 10, public question time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have received a number of questions this evening. And the first question is from Mr. David O'Connor, who's in the gallery. The question is, it is understood that not all residents living in Diggers Rest are owners, occupiers. In relation to the Diggers Rest Local Area Traffic Management Study, LATM, is Council satisfied that not all ratepayers were extended equal opportunity to participate in the study? So I'll refer this question to Mr. Luke Shannon, Mr. Mayor.
Through Mr. Mayor, thanks, David, for your question. As you know, Council consulted with the community throughout the LATM process and, in fact, provided two hand-delivered questionnaires through that process to all residents of Diggers Rest. The first one related to seeking their input in terms of traffic issues within the town, and the second one related to effectively seeking their comments on the proposed traffic management plan that resulted from that feedback. I should also note that, and this will be presented in the council report later this evening, that there was a traffic study group formed that included two councillors, community representatives, including resident association representatives, the police and the Diggers Rest Primary School. I do, however, acknowledge that some landholders may not be residents who reside in the houses that they own, but conversely, some residents may not be landholders. However, it's important to note that the essential purpose of the LATM is to provide a management plan for traffic in the town so as to respond to the issues that are faced by the residents of the town. So, to that extent, I'm satisfied that Council has consulted extensively as part of the LATM process and has received good feedback as part of that process. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
The second question this evening is also from Mr. O'Connor, and that reads, for some time now I have tried to understand the land rating complexities imposed on landowners who have recently been included in the urban growth boundary. It is my understanding that some properties now pay a new rate in line with developed land, even though they cannot immediately develop or subdivide their land. It is further understood that these landowners can apply for a rate deferral under Council's hardship policy. Does this deferral have an impact on the land title by way of caveat or lien, attract compounding interest against the property, and does this technique compromise the landowner's credit and financial status with respect to future borrowings against their land? Now, I'll refer that question to Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager of Corporate Services, to respond.
Thanks for the question, David. Just breaking it down to a couple of components. Under the differential rating category process applied by Council, which is one that complies with the findings from the Auditor General on differential rating systems for local government, properties that are located within the urban growth boundary area, regardless of whether they have a precinct structure plan approved for them, have the general rate applied to that category. Previously, these properties were rated as farmland, which attracted a much lower differential rate than the general rate that they're currently on. As far as Council's hardship policy is concerned, this allows residents facing difficulty in meeting financial commitments with Council to be assessed by an independent financial advisor from Jerrawarra Health Services, who will evaluate their circumstances and make recommendations to Council as to the most appropriate way forward to assist the applicant. In many instances, the recommendation is for the deferral of any payment for a period of time or a repayment plan that allows the person to make a contribution towards the debt that they are able to manage. In a number of these cases, any interest incurred during this period of time is waived. The Local Government Act does allow Council the opportunity or provision for the capacity to defer rates and interest. Once deferred, the amount appears as an outstanding amount on the rate notice that they receive. Any outstanding or deferred rate or charge will not have any impact on the title of a property as it is not registered or recorded in any way on a certificate of title. A prospective purchaser may become aware or would become aware of any deferred rates when obtaining a rate certificate. On the basis that any outstanding charges are not registered on title as caveats or liens, I do not believe this would affect the credit or financial statement status with respect to future borrowings of any property. However, lending institutions may ask for a copy of the rate notice from the owner for evaluation, and this will contain any outstanding balance details. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Clarification, I think.
David, clarification?
So what you're saying is that there's an interest-free period, but up to how long? Some of these guys are waiting 30 years.
It's simply done on a case-by-case basis, so that we have an independent financial advisor, totally separate from Council, which goes through the assessment process with those individual people and then makes the recommendation for consideration.
Next question, Mr. Mayor, is from Michelle Mendez, who's in the gallery. Question reads, can Council please write to organisations responsible for entrances to Bunnings and Coburn's shopping centres, requesting that potholes and cracked surfaces be repaired as these entrances are currently safety issues? I refer this question to General Manager of Planning and Development, Luke Shannon.
Thanks, Michelle, for the question. The two entrances to which you refer are effectively the responsibility of those respective businesses, being Bunnings and Coburn's Garden Shopping Centre. Council will, however, write to them as you requested, seeking for those repairs to be undertaken. Thank you.
The next question is from Nathan Miles, who's in the gallery. And the question reads, recently Council held two budget engagement sessions. Both of these sessions were held in the Melton Township, despite the fact that the Eastern Corridor is home to the majority of urban residents within the Melton Council municipality. Why was there not a budget engagement session held in the Eastern Corridor? Who at Council made this absurd and inconsiderate decision? In responding to that, this was the second year where Council had held a pre-budget engagement session for the community. Last year it was a full-day Saturday event, and the feedback that Council, which was held in the Melton Community Hall, the feedback we obtained from that event was that a number of people thought it would provide greater community access if the event, rather than being one full day, was broken into two half days, one being a weekend and one being a weekday evening, that might suit more people. So Council took that feedback on board and this year scheduled two, in effect, 3 to 4 hour sessions. There was no feedback last year that a session was sought in the Eastern Corridor or that it was inconvenient to people that the session was held in Melton. And the feedback we had this year in planning these sessions was similarly not along those lines either. So given your feedback, Council will take that into consideration next year. In respect of who made the decisions about where it was to be held, it was a recommendation from myself to Council, who agreed with the proposal.
Yes, tell me. Clarification.
It was agreed to by the Council. This is not a statutory event. It's a discretionary community engagement event of the Council. And so it didn't go through a formal approval process as such. The arrangements for the event were discussed at a council briefing session between the officers and the councillors, and they were agreed and then they were proceeded with. It was generally agreed, yes. We don't, it's not, sorry? I can't recall. I'm not aware of any dissent, but yeah, it was generally agreed. Next question, also from Mr. Miles, is Melton Council had a customer charter, has a customer charter, as can be seen in the Council foyer, that states all written correspondence will be replied to within 5 working days. On Monday, September 9th, 2013 at 8:17pm, correspondence and concerns were sent to Council regarding the LATM for Diggers Rest. Mr. Miles then lists what those concerns were. I don't think there's a need to read those out unless you would request that I do so, but it's a listing of those concerns. And then the final part of the question is, why is it that Council appears to have blatantly ignored and or refused to respond to this correspondence? I'll request Luke Shannon, General Manager Planning and Development, to respond to the question.
Thanks, Nathan, for your question. I mentioned earlier that as part of the Latin study for Diggers Rest, there was a traffic study group formed. That group included, as I mentioned earlier, two councillors, community representatives, the Victoria Police and the Diggers Rest Primary School. And you'll recall that you were a representative, at least in the early phases of that project, as part of the residents group. You might also recall that the independent traffic consultant on this project at the first study group meeting requested or provided the opportunity for the group to provide any specific issues of concern they might have in relation to traffic management, which would be taken into account as part of the process. You might also recall that you, as a result of that, subsequently emailed that evening, being the 9th of September, specific details of concern which are outlined in your email. That email was sent directly to the traffic consultant and not to Council, so in fact we didn't receive it. Notwithstanding that, I can assure you though that the specific issues of concern that you've raised in your email have been taken into account as part of the recommendations of the LATM study. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
And Mr. Miles.
More clarification?
Through Mr. Mayor, I have a copy of the email somewhere amongst my papers which has just gone directly to the traffic consultant.
Next question is from Mr. Mario Cascia, who's in the gallery. Now, by way of explanation, this is a very long question. It takes more of the form of a submission. It's some four pages, so I don't propose reading it. The essence of the question is in relation to land and development proposals for that land and the status of the current PSP 1080 Koroit PSP, and is a form of submission that we will take on board and to undertake to respond in writing after the meeting, unless Mr. Cascia seeks a specific indication.
Mr. Cascia. Thank you, Mr. Cascia.
If Mr. Cascia so wishes, we could make available a copy to all councillors at his request. If right, okay. I'll take on to provide a copy to all councillors. All right. And that completes the public question sections, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Presentation of staff reports. Staff report 11.1.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, I would like to move the following items in block, accepting all recommendations contained within. Items number 1, 2, 6, 7, 8 and 9.
Thank you, Councillor Bogg. Do you have a councillor to second the motion?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose? I declare the motion carried. Report 11.3, Heritage Advisory Committee, meeting 13th of December 2013. Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Heritage Advisory Committee provides advice to Council on the management and conservation of heritage in the City of Melton. The committee makes recommendations to Council for applications to the Heritage Assistance Fund and advocates on behalf of the community on heritage matters. At its meeting on the 13th of December 2013, the Heritage Advisory Committee mainly discussed the details of the events for Heritage Week 2014 and the Ainsbury Heritage Day, assessed the application received for the Heritage Assistance Fund and welcomed a new member to the committee. Council received one recommendation from the Heritage Advisory Committee from the meeting, and that was to approve the Heritage Assistance Fund application for the restoration works to the Norwood Naturalist Cabin, totalling $4,150 from the annual Heritage Assistance Fund. Mr. Mayor, although it's disappointing that only one application was lodged to the fund, it is considered that the restoration works to the cabin are important and should be supported, and hopefully the money that's made available from Council to the fund will generate further applications in future. So it's therefore recommended, Mr. Mayor, that the minutes of the Heritage Advisory Committee held on the 13th of December be noted by Council and that the recommendations be endorsed as details as detailed in the minutes to the committee meeting of the 13th of December. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
I'd like to move that motion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Does any councillor wish to second the motion?
I'll second that motion, Mr. Mayor.
Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to just declare a conflict of interest for the next item.
Thank you, Councillor Bove. Item number 11.4, Delegation of Authority Exercise, 1st of July 2013 to 31st of December 2013. Mr. Bean?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I present to Council the 6 monthly delegations as requested by Council for its consideration. As part of the new Council being formed, it reviewed its delegations of authority and adopted the ones that are currently exercised on the 25th of June 2013. Part of that process, Council requested that a certain number of matters be brought before Council on a 6 monthly basis for its acknowledgement and endorsement, and I present them to Council for their consideration. I just request that there be a minor change in the minutes on page 31 under the contract number 14/017, the power to award a contract for the construction of Clarks Road Children's Centre. It failed to nominate who it was awarded to. It was awarded to Island Brown Construction, and the date was actually the 20th of December 2013 that the authority was exercised. And on the one below it, for the power to award construction to build Bridge Road Children and Community Centre, that contract was awarded to the company known as To Construct, and it was awarded also on the 20th of December 2013. With that correction, which will be made in the minutes, Mr. Mayor, I present the recommendation to Council, as set out on page 27, that the report be received for information. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require further clarification? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
I'd like to move the motion, Mr. Mayor.
Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second the motion, Mr. Mayor.
Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Agenda item number 11.5, Reg Geary House Closure. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, I thought it was an opportunity to provide an update on what's known as Reg Geary House, which is a nursing home to the south of Melton, situated in Pinnacle Crescent. The reason I bring the report to you is we've been having a number of discussions with the provider of that nursing home, which at the moment is Western Health. And the other reason we bring this report to you, that Council entered into a lease, as it owned the land at the time, in 2001 for the purpose of the building of a 30-bed high-need nursing home in Pinnacle Crescent in Melton South. As I said, Northwest Hospital at the time was the purpose of the lease. The lease was for a 50-year term for the purpose to build that nursing home. The nursing home wasn't funded in any way by the Council, but was a partnership arrangement at the time. The nursing home now, we have been advised by Western Health, its intent to cease operations of that nursing home, and there's been many conversations that's been had by officers and councillors on this initiative. The intent to close the nursing home and the information provided to us is that the business is unsustainable, as it is only a 30-bed nursing home. And you may or may have not have seen a number of 30-bed nursing homes unfortunately closing across especially Victoria in the last couple of years. The other information provided to us as officers is that the nursing home would
be in high need of renovation or extension to potentially be a 90 bed, which is unsustainable for Western Health. As such, the board has made a decision to cease operation of that nursing home. I thought tonight would be an opportunity to provide you with some discussion that's occurred between officers and council on advocacy to try and retain the nursing home in its current capacity. Discussions have occurred with what's called the Friends of Redgeary House, which is a group of residents and individuals that have been advocating to retain the nursing home. Council staff, being myself and the Mayor and the Deputy Mayor at the time, did host Mr Don Nardella and those residents of concern to hear their concerns about their frustration of not having that nursing home retained, and obviously were seeking Council's support in an advocacy towards Western Health. There was another opportunity for the Friends of Redgeary to present their case, if you like, to Western Health, the Sunshine Hospital, just pre-Christmas, and myself and the Mayor attended that session, if you like, with Mr Ralph Willis, the Chairman of the Board, and one of the staff at Western Health. Discussions did occur around that, about retaining it in its current shape or form from the residents group point of view, and we voiced our opinion as a council, and the Mayor did also, about our intention, hopefully, to retain a future service on that site that would be a nursing home, preferably a high bed, neat nursing home on the same site. Unfortunately, we have now got written correspondence formally post-Christmas, and that's why we bring the report to you tonight, and that's referred to as Appendix 2 from Russell Harrison from Western Health, saying it will cease its operation. And to give you an example, at the time we had some verbal discussions way before Christmas on the intent of Western Health. There was something like 27 residents in that nursing home. And only discussions just the other day, I can tell you, I think it's down to 15. Now, that's due to a number of factors where families have taken their family members out of that nursing home and placed them in other care. The other day, I think we were down to something like 14 residents in that nursing home. And the majority of those, or I think 13 is the number quoted, will be having their care transferred to what's known as Sutton Park, which is an additional nursing home in Melton South, which is increasing that nursing home's capacity for a further 30 beds. So as such, most likely in March this year, we'll probably have a vacant facility which will come back to the ownership of council to pursue other opportunities with. At the same time, we have scheduled a time, if you like, to have a look through what's known as Redgeary House facility, ideally at the end of February or early March, depending when the last residents transition into their new care arrangements. And obviously, as a council and officers, we don't want to be seen to be walking through that facility, which is fair and reasonable, with those residents still in their care arrangements. So we are keen to do that after, with respect to them. So tonight is really just to bring to you that information, councillors, about Redgeary House, because we do own the land, and a number of recommendations that are on page 79 of the report. And that is that obviously you receive an acknowledge a letter of advice from Western Health referred to on Appendix 2, and council officers undertake a full asset review of the house, the facility itself, with a report to be presented back to council at a future council meeting. Council officers obtain legal advice in relation to the property, reverting back to council under the lease arrangements, and it is under a lease arrangement, and appropriate security arrangements, of course, be put in place to ensure that the building is maintained in a safe and in secure state, which is a concern of some of our residents that live nearby the facility. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any council require any further clarification? Mr. Heaney, I'd like some clarification, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
What is the options of this actually continuing as a care facility in the future?
Under current capacity, Mr. Mayor, as in a 30-bed, as it currently is, it's probably not deemed to be a viable management option for a provider in any such way. But saying that, as officers, we are having further discussions with the Department of Health about whatever opportunity may exist for whatever providers to come and talk to council about an opportunity in the future, and whether that is an opportunity to renovate the facility, extend the facility or capacity, council would have to endorse that in some shape or form in the future. But we haven't given up on advocating for its current use in whatever shape or form with the Department of Health.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
I do have a question. In regards to keeping it as some sort of aged care facility, would we be looking at another provider, per se, through the Department of Health, or even perhaps a private company?
Councillor Magic, that is our preference as officers. So the discussions we're having with the Department of Health is absolutely along that line. And the Department of Health are out to a process at the moment to a panel of providers that provide nursing home management services, if you like, right across Victoria. And we've highlighted them our intention that the facility is there, and we would be keen to talk to whoever may want to talk to us or the council about future opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Do you have a councillor to move the motion?
I'm happy to move the motion, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Miller. Do you have a councillor to second the motion?
I'd like to second the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Agenda item 11.10. Diggers Rest, Local Area Traffic Management Study Report. Mr. Shannon, you... Oh, Mr. Stokes, presenting the report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just get my paperwork in order. Thank you. Councillors, the Diggers Rest Local Area Traffic Management Study, or LADM study as I'll refer to it, was conducted as part of Council's proactive approach to traffic-related issues in the community, given the changes that have occurred in the township, including the establishment of the upgraded train station and car park, and along with the planned future growth in Diggers Rest. It's timely to conduct a LADM study for the area. Councillors, the study area referred to in Appendix 3 is the existing township, although regard was had for the proposed growth areas outside or adjoining that township. A traffic engineering consultant, Traffics Group, was engaged in September 2013 to conduct the LADM study on Council's behalf, with the aim of the study to recommend modifications to infrastructure so as to reduce the incidents and potential for vehicle and pedestrian crashes in the area, improve safety at intersections, improve safety of local streets by reducing traffic speeds, discouraging through traffic on the local street network, and developing proposals that address traffic concerns raised by the community whilst maintaining adequate levels of access to residents, businesses and emergency services. The study also seeks to maximise the safety benefits of available funding through the prioritisation of works, and it also adopts a proactive approach to local area traffic management rather than a reactive approach. Given the changing nature, as I've discussed, of the Diggers Rest local area with the future development of the Diggers Rest precinct structure plan area, the LADM study identified both existing and potential future traffic issues. Traffics Group then developed the proposed traffic management plan in two stages, being an interim plan that addresses the existing issues in the local area and an ultimate plan to address the future issues associated with the PSP development. In addition to conducting the Diggers Rest LADM study, Traffics Group were also engaged to review the expected traffic impacts on the existing Diggers Rest township resulting from the development of that precinct structure plan area. Traffics Group assessed the impacts of the increased volumes, and the information from this assessment was used to inform the ultimate treatments within the LADM study. Councillors, from a financial impact, the implementation of the recommended traffic management devices in the study area will require funding from Council. The interim plan, as discussed, provides cost estimates for treatments recommended. To assist council in considering the priorities of these treatments, Traffic's Group have split the treatments into two groups, being Priority 1 and 2. The funding required for the Priority 1 projects is in the order of $137,000 and Priority 2 projects $100,000. These projects, councillors, could be funded through council's traffic management device program within the capital works program. The triggers for the ultimate works will be monitored by council officers, and at the appropriate time when these projects reach the triggers, they can be added to council's capital works program. The production of the local area traffic management study, Mr. Shannon alluded to earlier, a traffic study group was formed comprising of ward councillors, community representatives, the local Victoria Police, Diggers Rest Primary School, our traffic consultants and council officers. The study group met on three occasions, and in addition to these meetings, there were two questionnaires circulated to all residents within the study area requesting their submissions, the first being calling for traffic-related issues and general comments, and the second called for comments in relation to the proposed traffic management plan. The community feedback supported the traffic data collected by council and the consultants in that there are significant speeding and driver behaviour issues in Diggers Rest, and councillors, I now put to you the recommendations as follows. That council adopt the Diggers Rest Local Area Traffic Management Study final report referred to in Appendix 1, which includes key recommendations as follows. Councillors, I won't read out, but they are shown in the report from A through to G. And that two, councillors note the Diggers Rest Precinct Structure Plan Traffic Review referred to in Appendix 2, and that all Diggers Rest residents be advised of the final traffic management plan adopted by council being in appendices 4 and 5, and that council write to residents involved in the traffic study group, thanking them for their contribution to the process, and that council continue to advocate to the state government for funding for the provision of the Diggers Rest bypass as identified in both the Diggers Rest Precinct Structure Plan and Diggers Rest Latham. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes. Does any council require further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Milley.
Many of my previous meetings that I attended at the PCCC, and I think you used to attend a lot of them, which was the police, community and council committee meetings, there was almost at every meeting a member of the Diggers Rest residents saying that there's a lot of hoons and a lot of speeding in the area. If this traffic management study report was to go through, accepted and implemented, will that actually refrain hoon driving and speed driving in the area of Diggers Rest?
Mr. Stone.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council has conducted local air traffic management studies in many areas across the municipality. The data collected to review those studies post-implementation has shown a significant reduction both in speeds and also in requests received by council for council to treat those areas or complaints, if you like. So I'm confident that should the study be implemented, that we would see an improved safety outcome with a reduction in speeding and the driver behaviour issues.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes. Does any other councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
Oh, sorry, Mr. Mayor, I've got a question. Just a question. I don't know if Mr. Stokes or Mr. Shannon can answer this question. Can you just talk more about the growth of Diggers Rest, let's say in the next 10 years, like the population growth, what will happen, and, of course, stage one of that new development of Diggers Rest, how it has sort of sold out?
Through again, Mr. Mayor, the growth of the current population of Diggers Rest is just under 2,000 people, and it's predicted to grow to in the order of 14,000 people. That's obviously a significant increase. In terms of the current growth, you will see that a development occurring on Houdini Drive, adjacent to Council's Recreation Reserve. That development is progressing at a reasonable pace, and is our current highest growth pressure, if you like, in the municipality in terms of lot sales. So it appears to be an area that is attracting some interest.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes.
I've got a further question.
I'm looking at page 187.6, the risk analysis. Can you actually talk more about that risk analysis there that's on the report?
Yes, the risk analysis section of the report refers to the risks that council is exposed to when considering the recommendation. So council has engaged a traffic consultant to assess the issues around road safety in Diggers Rest. That consultant's come up with a list of recommendations which I've presented. The council is exposed to a risk should it now choose to ignore those recommendations presented to it. The consultant believes and officers are recommending that those works occur and be added to council's capital works program, and if council should choose option two of the report and not adopt the report or add the works to their program, then they would be exposed to some legal action in the event of a crash occurring at one of the locations treated.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes. Does any other councillor require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, you don't mind. Firstly, I'd like to ask, we've received an email from Mr. O'Connor in regards to the accommodation of safe pedestrians from the Welcome Road and the estate areas to the railway station. Can you tell me how this ladder would provide for that?
The intersection in question, the intersection of Welcome Road and Diggers Rest Kamida Road, in the vicinity of another intersection being the Diggers Rest Kamida Road and the Old Calder Highway and the rail level crossing. There is a strong pedestrian desire line from Welcome Road into the station from the greater township of Diggers Rest, and it's the predominant location where pedestrians would access the station from the township. We have a number of traffic movements occurring at the intersection. Now with significant turning movements, the interim plan proposes the conversion of the intersection to left in, left out. That removes all right turn movements into Welcome Road and out of Welcome Road. That initial treatment of that intersection, obviously removing those turning movements, will make the intersection a lot easier for the pedestrian to interpret, only having to be concerned about three movements and left out movements, reducing conflict. The ultimate plan talks about the ultimate closure of Welcome Road at Diggers Rest Kamida Road upon the intersection reaching triggers, traffic triggers. Those triggers are based on traffic volumes that would see the intersection reaching saturation point or full congestion. At that point in time, all movements would be closed if that trigger is met, and there is an if associated with that. At that point in time, the intersection or the pedestrian movements become a simple, even more simpler of crossing two through movements, albeit at a higher volume. One more point. The plan also introduces a signalisation of the intersection of Diggers Rest Kamida Road and the Old Calder Highway. This signalisation would see the introduction of pedestrian facilities to cross Diggers Rest Kamida Road and could service Welcome Road residents.
Mr. Mayor, having heard that response, can I strongly suggest, and I'm not moving this, but could I strongly suggest a new number two be added and then renumbered, the current two go to three, four subsequently. The further consultation be undertaken prior to the closure of Welcome Road being implemented.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Does any other councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a mover to the alteration of the motion by Councillor Ramsay?
No, I didn't move it, Mr. Mayor.
I said, can I have a mover?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
To move your alteration.
I'm happy to move it with the Councillor Ramsay's add-in.
Thank you, Councillor Bailey. Do you have a councillor to second the motion?
I'm happy to second it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
I don't oppose the motion, Mr. Mayor, but I did want to speak on the motion if there's no other councillors that have any further clarification.
I've already asked those bits so far, so carry on.
just in case. First, I'd like to say thanks to the engineering department for their lengthy report and all the work that they've put in this. Thank you to the community members who have also voiced their opinions. I know that there are a lot of residents who oppose these safety measures. I, however, have a responsibility to support any improvement with regards to increased safety for our residents. I believe that the last study that had occurred in Diggers Rest was in the year 2000, nearly, 14 years ago. And I especially was really concerned, and if I could draw your attention to page 185 and just read something out, that the findings of the Latham study identified traffic speed and irresponsible driving as significant issues for Diggers Rest. This was supported by traffic survey data, which indicated vehicle speeds that are among the highest recorded within residential streets within the city of Melton. That is a huge concern. And if we don't do something now, what's it going to be like? At the moment, we've got a population of Diggers Rest that's 1,930. And with all the development that's going to occur, what's that going to boom to? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley.
Mr. Mayor, if the motion is passed, can I call for a division, please?
Certainly can. Does any councillor oppose the motion? Need for the division. I declare the motion carried. The division has been called. All those in favour? Councillor Medlick, Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Borg, Councillor Carley, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried. Move on to report item number 12 in our agenda. Reports from delegates appointed by council to other bodies. Councillor Carley.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, could you repeat that, please? Sorry, I was talking.
It's okay, you were otherwise busy. Reports from delegates appointed to council to other bodies.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have much to report back on, as we only got back not long ago, but I did attend the first Arts Committee meeting with yourself. Unfortunately, we didn't have a quorum, so we just had a roundtable discussion. But can I say that I think that this is going to be a fantastic committee to be part of, and I'm really happy to be part of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Borg. Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, I attended three. The Western Melbourne Tourism Board met today and I was re-elected as Deputy Chair for the eighth year running. Roads to Zero was held just before Christmas and we discussed a number of different roads issues, strategies to compete, to deal with some of our more dangerous roads, and we also discussed something absolutely sensational, and I know Councillor Dunn will agree with me, as will all council, when on the 28th of January, Ferris Road lights were finally turned on, and I want to thank not only the three commissioners of police, being our current one, Steve Mutton, Mario Fiorentori and Greg Payne, for their advocacy for Ferris Road lights, this council and previous councils for the advocacy of Ferris Road lights. I think Councillor Borg will be happy that I don't ask that question when the lights will be turned on ever again. But I personally want to thank the engineering department for led by Les Stokes, whose general manager is Luke Shannon, because it wasn't for these gentlemen and ladies continuously getting onto the departments to make sure that funding was received. It was received ahead of time. The work was completed ahead of time and under budget, and now when we turn in safety, and that's a credit to everybody. So thank you very, very much indeed. RoadSafe Westgate was also conducted, and I've got some stats here. And I'm going to start the year off because this is what happened. This is a snapshot of last year, and I even though it's good news, the final road toll for last year for right across Australia was 242. Sorry, was that? That was 40 less people died on our roads, a percentage drop of 14.2. There were 242 fatalities resulting from 224 fatal collisions. 101 of those deaths were in metropolitan Melbourne. There were 141 deaths in country Victoria. Males accounted for a majority of those killed, 160 compared to 82 females. These are all people that don't go home to their families. Young people continue to be overrepresented in road trauma, with 33 aged between 18 and 24. There's a growing trend of older drivers losing their lives on the roads, with 32 deaths in the 80-plus age group. Half of those killed were drivers. 36 pedestrians were killed. 29 people were killed in collisions involving heavy vehicles. These stats, although they're on the improve, are still not good enough. In the local area, being our municipality, there were 6 fatalities. That's a 20% increase on the previous year. Serious injuries were 74. Injuries of a minor were 131, resulting for a total of 211. In the last month, there was 116 impoundments. 54 were disqualified or suspended. 54 because they were disqualified or suspended. 17 for exceeding the speed limit of 45 kilometres. 2 for exceeding the speed limit of 70 kilometres. So when we talk about latents and safety, speed humps and safety devices to try and curb these, that's why we're doing it. And I won't go into the ratio of males to females, because females win each and every time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. They're my meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Dunn.
Yes, I intended the one, the road to zero, and Councillor Ramsey's already covered it pretty well.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Ciliaro.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended the Melton Highway Advisory Committee with yourself. We discussed the improvements on the Melton Highway, which are now completed. We are still advocating for the pedestrian crossing facility at Hillside, close to the Regency, where I, on page 405, I put through a notice of motion in regards to that. And just a little bit about that, the need of that crossing is there are many people crossing a four-lane highway with cars travelling at the speed of, well, we hope, at 80 kilometres per hour. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillor Medlick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And may I first just say how good it is to be back after Christmas holidays. I attended the six-month CEO review with the committee members, both Councillor Ramsey has probably forgotten that she attended, and yourself, Mr. Mayor, which the report is attached in tonight's agenda under the confidential matters. And can I just take this opportunity to say what a fantastic job our CEO, Mr. Calvin Torrey, is doing in leading the organisation that is Melton City Council and its odd 400 staff. We as councillors rely heavily on the expertise and advice of our CEO, and I can proudly say, may I just repeat, I can proudly say that our CEO gives us that advice without fear or favour. It is a fast-growing community, and the pressures of this are recognised by the councillors,
the CEO, all management and staff. We work well together as a team. There is a positive and hard-working culture within the organisation, which ultimately stems from the CEO and executive management. I can assure our residents that the future of this community is in good hands. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Been quite a month in December, but I attended the CEO review along with yourself and Councillor Ramsey, the Western Base Art Public Panel meeting, which was looking at the new public art to be placed at Atherston, and that's an ongoing agenda, if you like, that's to come up another few times before we get any place for that one. Also with Councillor Carley, I attended the new Arts Committee meeting, and also with Councillor Cagliari, the Melton Highway Advisory Committee. Thank you. Agenda item number 13, Councillor representation and acknowledgements. 13.1, Record of Assembly of Councillors in accordance with Section 80A of the Local Governments Act 1989.
Mr. Mayor, just before Council consider the item, I just request on page 403 a copy of those minutes. Under conflict of interest disclosures, Councillor Borg did make a disclosure in regard to an item that was considered in last week's meeting, and the minutes will be reflected to address that. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, can I also make an additional to that, because Mr. Tory did also declare a conflict of interest that same evening. So with those two amendments to that, could I move that the record of Assembly of Councillors attached to this agenda dated the 28th of January 2014 be received and noted?
Does any councillor... Do I have a councillor to second that motion, please?
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. 13.2, public address by each councillor. Councillor Medlick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended both community budget forums here in Melton. There were some very positive suggestions from our community members, and I certainly look forward to the upcoming budget deliberations where councillors and executive will be examining the submissions more comprehensively. Echoing Councillor Ramsey's comments about Ferris Road, may I just say what an absolute pleasure it was to drive off Ballarat Highway this evening and to use the Ferris Road exit. I remember all the advocacy that was done to the previous state government in the last term. All the notices of motion, the letters to the Minister of Transport to get this particularly dangerous intersection signalised. It was basically a dangerous death trap for motorists using this exit. Well, I think credit should be given where credit is due. As a totally independent councillor, I can say the current state government has funded these signals and they are finally up and running. It was great to see that there is now an orderly and much safer way for drivers to get onto Ferris Road and not have to take their lives into their own hands. I believe a letter of thanks would be most appropriate to the current state government and the relevant authorities, expressing our gratitude as a council for hearing our endless pleas to fund this traffic management issue. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is that a motion to move, Councillor Medlick?
It can be. Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
So you're moving the motion?
Yes, I'd like to move that.
Any councillor like to second the motion for Councillor Medlick that we write?
Didn't hear it, I apologise.
Do you want to put some words together?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. I didn't word it as such, but a letter of thanks to the current state government and the relevant authorities, expressing our gratitude as a council for implementing the traffic management around Ferris Road exit.
Thank you. Can I have a councillor to second the motion, please?
So is this to Matthew Guy? No?
Who's the
Who was here on the day?
Yes.
Well, yeah, seeing he turned the switch, I'll second that.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Please be silent. Councillor Cagliari.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to highlight that one of our locals, Libby Lazilla, who grew up in our municipality, she'll be attending her fourth Winter Olympics in Sochi. She won gold in Vancouver for aerial skiing in 2010. The Mayor has sent a letter of best wishes in December, and we wish her all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliani. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually attended budget submission last night, and on the 2nd of February I attended the Melton Gold Club, which was quite an exciting evening, well, exciting day.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Ramsey.
I attended Australia Day, Mr. Mayor, and 180 residents became Australian citizens, and it absolutely thrills me with pride to see the looks on their faces when they do make the pledge, because it takes a lot to become a new citizen to a country, to adopt a new home, and they do so, and every year that's one of the highlights. The turning of the sod for Atherston Community Centre and also Botanic Community Centre, and when we talk about advocacy, there's another $3 million in the coffers, 1.5 for each of those, that the ratepayers, we don't have to find through the budget process from our ratepayers. That sort of advocacy helps a long way, and it is the governments that come to the forefront when it comes to that. So another $3 million there. Gold Cup was sensational. That same evening we had close to, I'd say, about 500 people, Mr. Bean, at the Pop Culture, the movie night at Hannah Watts Park. This is what community is all about. It was a lovely evening. We sat down, families were treating their kids to a picnic dinner, and we were able to sit there and in our main regional park and just enjoy the surrounds. It was a fantastic night. I attended the two budget forums, and yes, there will be a lot of discussion over the next couple of months. But I actually want to put out a personal plea too. After the unseasonally hot weather we've had, to our fireys, to our SES, and to our AMBOs in particular, that have been doing above and beyond their call of duty in getting our sick to hospitals, putting out fires, and also repairing homes. They have been absolutely outstanding, and from myself, who had to have an ambulance ride with a very elderly mum, I can see what sort of pressure the hospitals were under over those four really hot days that exceeded the 44 degree temperature mark. So from my perspective, I take my hat off to each and every one of them. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Bogg.
Thank you.
You did attend the budget sessions.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. Councillor Cowley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Please be quiet.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended the Australia Day celebrations, and can I say it was absolutely a fantastic day. There's nothing better than to look around and see so many kids that are happy with their face painted as well, who also became citizens. There was a lot of children this time waving their Australian flags and singing along. I also attended the pre-budget forum on the Saturday, and just a thank you to the residents that did attend and put in their submissions and what they think the council should be looking at when we go into our budget sessions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. A lot of the events you guys have attended, I've also attended the switching on of the lights, which was great to see some of our GAEC money coming at last. The first of much, much more money, I hope, in the future. I attended with Mr. Torrey. We attended to meet the senior advisor for Minister Ryan Smith, Minister for Environment and Change, and the reason for that was for discussions of the process in regarding the grassland reserve Mount Cottrell, and basically advocating and trying to to get some timelines and some ideas of how the land acquisition overlay will be rolled out, and we're hoping to get some more back from that in the not-too-distant future. Also attended budget community engagement session. Melton Gold Cup, which is another great event for Melton to hold. I think that's the third year in a row it's been back to Melton, so it's nice to have some water in the weir. Also, the turn of the Sir Atherston attended with other councillors. We did receive $3 million in total towards $6 million each is the build cost. So although we're really thankful for the money that's been given to us by the state and also federal government at times, our ratepayers are the ones that are paying the majority of the costs, and it's just nice for them to know that their money is going to good use. I also attended Australia Day celebrations, and I'd just like to read out the winners of our community awards. The Community Register won the Group of the Year, and the Youth Citizen of the Year was awarded to Sarah McInnes, and the Melton Woman of the Year, our new award, which was proposed last year by Councillor Medlick, was Claire Mauser, and the winner of the Citizen of the Year award was Patrick Gurry. We also had some great entertainment on the day by little Leila Lopez, who was the Melton Star winner 2013, and she performed Weird Australian. And the national anthem was performed by Melton Idol winner. And my name's Jessica. Jessica, surname?
It's not the Marges, is it?
No, it's not the Marges. That was the other one. Anyway, I apologise for that. If anybody wants to know a name, let me know and I'll remember afterwards. Thank you very much.
Calwig. Jessica Calwig.
It is Calwig, you're correct. Jessica Calwig. Should remember. Anyway, my apologies. Item number 14 on the agenda, notice of motion, 14.1, notice of motion, 372, Councillor Cagliari, pedestrian crossing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I hereby give notice of my intention to move the following motion at the ordinary meeting of Council to be held on the 4th of February 2014. And the motion states that Council write to the Minister for Roads, the Honourable Terry Mulder, MP, requesting the funding pedestrian crossing facilities on Melton Highway in the vicinity of the Regency Hillside.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari. Does any Councillor require clarification? Do I have a seconder for the motion, please?
I'd like to second that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare it carried. Agenda item number 15, councillors' questions without notice. Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, I have two, if I may. The first one is the jet boats at McPherson Park. Can I please have an understanding of the current lease arrangements between Council and the Jet Boat Association at McPherson Park, including events and activities that have occurred during the past 3 years? I don't mind taking a full report either.
I'll answer that. Thanks, Councillor Ramsey. Look, I will provide a report at the next meeting because it's very detailed about the planning permit requirements, and we'll have to research what events particularly did happen. I can't give you those this evening just off the top of my head, so we will provide a report at the next meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Councillor Ramsey.
Number two is, with the unseasonally hot weather we've had, what arrangements does Council have in place to assist our community during abnormally high temperature, particularly those socially isolated, elderly and disabled? Okay. Would you like to hear that again, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, I didn't hear it all. Would you please repeat it? Please remain silent. Please remain silent. Andrew. Don't push it. Please remain silent. Councillor Ramsey.
What arrangements does Council have in place to assist our community during abnormally high temperatures, particularly the socially isolated, the elderly and disabled?
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
And I don't mind taking a report on that either.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Mr Mayor, I'll just answer this very quick. We have arrangements in place via my service unit in community care and inclusion. We have obligations that we do have to deliver services under certain regulations and requirements that is set by the department, and especially on heatwave events specifically, but I will provide a further detailed report to you. But I can say that we have had some positive response in our last heatwave from our clients that are providing services from a council in respect to this.
Mr Mayor, can I just seek a little bit of further clarification? Can that report include how we collate who's socially isolated, how we get, you know, how we make sure we've got those ones that are elderly or disabled identified, and also maybe include what the seniors register does?
Can do that, Councillor Ramsey, yes.
Thank you.
Does any other councillor have push without notice? I'll give mine then to Mr Stokes, I think, could answer this one. Could you please explain what's happening with the intersection of Barry's Road and Coburn Road? It's been in basically lockdown for the last 2 or 3 months. And also a secondary question, can we please make a request to Vic Roads to reassess traffic light sequences?
Mr Mayor, I'm happy to answer those questions. In relation to Barry's Road and Coburn's Road, I know this issue has been raised at previous council meetings. There is work being undertaken by QIC as part of the Woodgrove development at that location. So it's actually work that does not involve council. It's work being undertaken by the landowner on a Vic Roads owned and managed road. Regrettably, there have been some delays in the provision of the new turning lanes there. There have been some improvements made recently, so the single turning lane is now open, to enabling a right-hand turn into the centre and a left-hand turn into the centre. The developer had some issues with the Telstra infrastructure under the road, and I understand that they've now had issues with water and gas infrastructure, so it could in fact be up to 16 weeks before the works are finished completely.
How long?
16 weeks.
Wow. Is that the last report you've had?
That was advice I received at 5 o'clock tonight. So it's hot off the press.
16 weeks.
Wow. Up to.
Up
yeah.
to.
But unfortunately, Mr Mayor, Council has absolutely no control
over that. And the secondary question?
Your second question, Mr Mayor, I think related to the sequencing of the lights on Coburn's Road. That's an issue that we've raised with Vic Roads at our last liaison meeting with them, and they've committed to go away and review the sequencing of the lights and provide further advice about how that might be improved.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr Shannon. Motions without notice. Is that item number 16. Item number 17, urgent business. Item number 18.
Mr Mayor. Procedural motion that pursuant to section 89.2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated. 18.1, contract 14/005, Bullman Road roundabout construction at Sovereign Boulevard West, on Melton West. The report is confidential in accordance with 89.2 subsection D as it relates to a contractual matter, and 18.2 CEO Review Committee Report 2013-14. This report is confidential in accordance with 89.2A as it relates to a personal matter.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
Happy to second that, Mr Mayor.
Councillor Midlick. Ladies and gentlemen, please avail yourself of refreshments that are available outside. I'm sure some of the councillors will join you soon. Thank you.